Hi, I am Pastor Chris Gordon, the preaching pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you like the doctrines of grace, as heard on Abounding Grace Radio, we do invite you to join us for worship at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. every Sunday. Visit us on the web at escondidourc.org. The address is 1864 North Broadway in Escondido. And now here is our program, Abounding Grace.
Adorning Christ and His Gospel. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Grateful that you've taken the time to tune in today to Abounding Grace Radio. Pastor Chris Gordon, and as always, we're very grateful to bring these radio broadcasts to you. You can go to our website at agradio.org to find out more about who we are and what we believe, and also to subscribe to these podcasts free of charge. Also, we're thankful again to have Pastor Mike Brown of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee as we have our ongoing Friday discussions on issues of theology, worship, Christian life, doctrine, all these sorts of things, engaging, of course, our contemporary Christian culture and climate. We are continuing today, as we left off last week Friday, with an issue and discussion on the preaching of the gospel that takes place in worship, and why that is so important, why the Lord has put this in place, and what that means for us today, why we give ourselves to that, to hear that preaching. And really, Mike, there's no place better to begin than something that the Westminster Larger Catechism says when it describes how the Holy Spirit makes the word effectual to salvation. This is what we read, and maybe we'll start here today. The Spirit of God makes the reading, but especially the preaching of the word, an effectual means of enlightening, convincing, and humbling sinners, of driving them out of themselves and drawing them unto Christ, of conforming them to His image and subduing them to His will, of strengthening them against the temptations and corruptions, of building them up in grace and establishing their hearts in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation. That is a mouthful, but what a lot to think about in light of what takes place in the preaching of the gospel. Do you think, Mike, we've appreciated what happens today when the word of God is delivered and the demonstration of the Spirit and of power?
Well, we certainly need to, because those are the means that God has given us for our sanctification, for our growth. I mean, we not only are converted and brought to faith in Jesus Christ through the preaching of the word. We know what Paul says in Romans chapter 10, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. But how will they hear unless there is a preacher sent? But we also need to hear that same word of Christ, that good news, not only for our justification, that is to be made right with God through faith in Christ, but also for our sanctification. That is that lifelong process that begins at the moment of one's justification and ends at death, when the Holy Spirit is making us more like Jesus Christ, conforming us to His image. The primary means that God uses to make you and me more like Jesus Christ is the preaching of the gospel and also what we call sacraments, the Lord's Supper and baptism. So we definitely do need to appreciate it.
Now, today on Abounding Grace, we're going to make a contrast, and we've been doing this on Abounding Grace. We've outlined last week, and today we're going to continue the discussion on the importance of the gospel. Now, remember, gospel is good news. It's the announcement, the declaration, the proclamation of the wonderful person and the work of Jesus Christ, who gave Himself, who shed His blood, who died on the cross, and rose again the third day. And God has freely announced and proclaimed this good word to people, that whosoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved from their sins. So this announcement is very important. The understanding of good news. The problem that we have seen play out in American evangelicalism, the problem that we've interacted with here on Abounding Grace for these past weeks is that we're confusing things today. We're making the assumption today that the good news that people need is just some kind of therapy, just a kind of technique for life, coming to terms and learning how better in their own spiritual life to think deeply, connecting deeply with their own spiritual selves, as David Wells says, on their own spiritual terms. And so what we've essentially done, Mike, is confuse two different parts of Scripture, two different words of Scripture, law and gospel. So maybe you can comment a little bit on that, the difference between law and gospel and how that mingling together, how that confusion today where we've assumed the good news is just practical tips for living, how that has created such a problem and left people powerless in what Paul says, under the law.
Right. Yeah, that's so important to understand the difference between the law and the gospel. In many ways, this is what the Protestant Reformation was primarily about. When we come to Scripture, we have to understand that there are two parts of God's Word. It's not Old Testament, New Testament, which we might think it is, but rather it is law, that is, God speaking and giving us His demands, telling us what is His righteous standard, that standard to which all of us must conform, the law, and gospel, which is His good news that tells us that God has provided to us in Christ what He demands from us in the law. So the law says, do this and live. But the gospel says, Christ did it for you. And if we get these two things muddled up, we will really misunderstand what Christianity is all about. And I think the truth is that a lot of people today going to evangelical churches, I know from the church that I pastor, we get many visitors to our churches who've been sitting under preaching that is basically ignorant of that distinction. And they've been sitting under it for some time, and they're pretty worn out. Instead of getting both law that reveals our sin, reveals God's holiness, drives us to Christ, and gospel that gives us good news, instead of getting that diet, they've basically been getting a compromised blend of the two together, a sort of, you know, what Ken Riddlebarger calls gospel, that's neither law nor gospel, but a sort of moralistic law light that is basically devoid of spiritual nutrients. So we need to hear the law proclaimed in its force, so that it reveals to us our own idolatry, our own sin, you know, the kind of story that we've told ourselves about our lives. And we need to hear the gospel proclaimed in all of its joy as God tells us how He's clothed us in Christ's righteousness. And, you know, that type of preaching, hearing those two, will bless us with the ability to live the Christian life. But not hearing those two distinguished, well, if we're only hearing a sort of law light, get out there, try harder, be happy, well, it'll inevitably produce one of two terrible responses in its hearers. If I'm only hearing law all the time, or law light, I'm either going to be led into self-righteousness, that is, you know, fooling myself into thinking that I'm a keeper of the law, or I'm going to be driven to despair. That is, you know, thinking that, look, I cannot live up to the demands of this law because I find no relief or hope in the message that I'm hearing.
You know, this distinction is made everywhere. This is not something that we've imposed theologically on the Bible. You know, this is what John stated right at the beginning of his gospel. The law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So there was the distinction between law and gospel. Moses represents the law, the giving of the law, and Christ here, when he came, he showed us and gave us the grace of the Lord. He laid down his life and announced his person and work, once that announced, to the ends of the earth, so that whosoever believes shall be delivered. You know, it's interesting, Mike, that the Galatian church, the church in Galatia, forgot this distinction. And, you know, this was a church that had heard the good news. This was a church that had heard about the person and the work of Jesus, that he saves us, that it's not by our works. And Paul comes at the beginning of this epistle, and he is stunned. He is shocked that they have turned so quickly. They have turned so quickly from him who called them in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Now, what was the different gospel? It was a gospel, not really a gospel of good news, but their own kind of news that said that they're justified by their works. Now, we might stand back from that today, Mike, and say, "How well, we don't believe that." But practically speaking, when you just described gospel, the confusion of these things, that people who are getting a steady diet of getting pounded with do, what has essentially happened is this error. And it's interesting, you know, how Paul dealt with this in Galatians. We'll get into this a little bit more. That the Apostle Paul would go back and he would make statements like this. What was the purpose of the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. So in other words, Paul was saying the law was added to show how bad we are in our sin. And Paul would ask in Galatians 4, you who want to be under that, you who want to just get hit with the law all the time and told what to do you hear it? Do you know what it requires? These are not just tips for living. The original intent of the law when it was given on Sinai was to do what? It was to crush. It was to say, here's God's standard. It's perfection. You can't keep it. And if you don't measure up to this standard, you're in trouble. You're going to face the wrath and the judgment of God. And you see, that's why Paul would come along and say, when Christ came, he showed us how and where that escape was made at the cross in fulfillment. That's why the whole Old Testament was pointing us to him. So, Mike, I'll let you comment on that, and then we'll come back to discussing a little bit more how this has played out today in the Christian church.
Well, I think you've said what we need to hear, that the law, it essentially crushes us. It sets God's standard before our eyes so that we can see that God is holy. And that's how important is that for us in worship. When we come into the worship service, we need to know that God is holy. It's interesting that, you know, the historic liturgies of the Christian church in all of the traditions and going all the way back to the early church, they always had a reading of the law, where you would hear the Ten Commandments or the Sermon on the Mount or some a robust expression of God's law in his word, so that we would know what God requires of us and we would know that we need to be driven to Jesus Christ. But the law in itself, if all we're getting, as you said, Chris, do, if all we're coming to hear on Sunday is get out there, do this, do that, here's 17 principles you need, it'll either drive us to self-righteousness, thinking we've done it, or it'll drive us to despair, because the law itself, hearing commands itself, cannot change the human heart. The law can set boundaries. It shows us where we are to live, how we are to live. I'm not to murder, I'm not to dishonor my parents or those in authority over me, I'm not to commit adultery, I'm not to steal, I'm not to have other gods before the Lord. It sets the boundaries, and to some extent it can restrain, but it cannot produce righteousness in the heart. And Paul makes that point very clearly in Galatians 3, when he said, if a law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. But the law can't give life. It can't change the nature of the human heart. We need the gospel for that. That's what produces in us this righteousness. Not only does God clothe us, impute to us, give us and credit to us Christ's righteousness so that we're right with him, but the Holy Spirit, through hearing the gospel and receiving it by faith, he produces in us this righteousness so that we can live. If we're only hearing the commands, it won't change the human heart. And you know, Chris, there's a humorous story that I can share that illustrates this well. You know, we live here in San Diego. My family, we like to go to the San Diego Zoo quite frequently. We have the passes and all that. And my son is a fanatic for these Malaysian tigers that are there. And every time we go, he wants to go see the tigers first. And one day he went there and had the biggest surprise ever. He sat and he watched this tiger that he sees quite frequently, and suddenly a duck flew into the tiger area. And you know, the tiger obviously is restrained by these huge walls. It can't hurt us. It can't get to us. But this duck flew into what it thought was just this lush, beautiful part of San Diego. Unbeknownst to him, he was actually in the tiger arena. And the tiger saw the duck. Duck didn't see the tiger. And the tiger goes immediately over to the duck, grabs the thing in its mouth. Kids are cheering, tourists are screaming, feathers are flying, and my son comes home and says, "Dad, it was the greatest thing I ever saw. That this duck became this tiger's lunch." And the point I want to illustrate is that, you know, it's very much like the law. The law can restrain, like those walls that restrain the tiger, but those walls cannot change the tiger from being a tiger. The tiger, because it's at a zoo, didn't look at the duck and say, "Well, you know, I'm civilized now. I'm a zoo tiger. I'm not going to eat this duck that flew into my pen." No, it was still a tiger. And the truth is, the law, it can't change our heart either.
Well, that's really helpful. And a good imagery. You know, it's true. If this were like a boxing match, we're just flat out on the canvas. We're knocked out cold. I mean, this thing puts us down. And I think that's why this is such an important issue for us today. The law is good. The law is righteous. The law is holy. Problem is, we're not. And that's what is being exposed with the law. It's interesting that Paul will even say that when the law is preached in this kind of way, it's actually arousing sin. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like telling my kid, "Don't eat the cookie." What does he want to do? He wants to eat the cookie. It's because I put a law in front of him. He has a sinful heart. Now he desires it. That's what the law does. And, you know, I think now this gets to Mike a little bit of, you know, why we're engaging this on Abounding Grace and why this is so important today for people to think through. I grew up in a tradition, Mike, where, now if we're representing Moses' law, where Moses was, you know, kind of a bad Moses, and we got heavy-handed law every week. It wasn't the kind of stuff maybe you were raised with, Mike, that was law light or a little nicer, kinder, gentler Moses, who was a little easier to manage. I got the kind of preaching that just totally leveled me. And there was a strange sort of thing that happened. You're exactly right when you talk about self-righteousness, but there was something in people that liked that. I never could figure that out. But ultimately what it did was left people in their bondage and in their misery. So there was the heavy-handed bad Moses kind of preaching. And in American old, you know, American evangelicalism in America, we've seen a lot of that, a lot of pulpit pounding, angry law preaching that condemns everyone else, that refuses to, you know, in the pulpit, look at its own sin. But it's a miserable kind of bondage that the Apostle Paul described as being under the law. Now, the strange thing is that today we've reacted against the bad Moses, and so we've created a nice Moses. But it's still law. And it still says, well, here's the good news. Here's, you mentioned tips for living. Here's the steps. Here's how you can accomplish it. Here's how you can have a happy life. Here's how you can have your best life now. That's Joel Osteen's book. Here's how you can have all these things to have a happy life. And still, it's left us with the same problem. We've not been given the power to do. We've not, like you mentioned, we don't have changed hearts. We're still left dead in trespasses and sins under that kind of preaching. And so this is why we're saying we don't need just nice, lighter Moses. We need a whole different message. We need a whole different word. We need a whole different kind of announcement. And that's why Paul said at the heart of everything that he does, he preaches Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the heart of his message. That's the goal of the preaching. That's the goal of the Christian ministry. And that's something so important to be recovered today.
Right. Absolutely. And please don't get us wrong. You know, for our listeners, we recognize that we need to do things as Christians. I need to love my wife as Christ has loved the church. I need to refrain from all sin and vice. I need to flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, and love. But we only do those things out of the power of the Holy Spirit and the motivation that the gospel gives us. And you're right, Chris, that a lot of times the law is reduced to a sort of nice kind of Moses, where the good news then becomes, here, live this way. Live this way, and then you will be blessed. The problem is that even if you try to lighten the demands of the law, you find at the end of the day, you can't live that way. And you'll either be in despair, or you'll fool yourself, and you'll end up being a self-righteous Pharisee. I love what Ian Murray said. He said that it is true that the consequences of faithful preaching are with God and not with us, but are we sure, and he's talking about preachers here, are we sure that we are making salvation by Christ's righteousness as clear and prominent as it ought to be? Here is the only message truly relevant to the reality of the condition of fallen men and women. Listen to this. Every offer of hope to individuals which is based upon moral education, self-improvement, or religious devotion is an empty hope. So the question is, do we have hope by the gospel that we're hearing each week so that we can then go and do these imperatives, these commands that God gives us in His Word?
Right, very important. And I'm glad you make that distinction and elaborated on that, Mike. I think maybe a little bit helpful, something that's always impacted me is how Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount. I think it's one of the most misunderstood sermons, but He makes a statement there right at the beginning, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom. So He's looking at what Israel understood to be the pillars of religion. They'd memorized 613 commandments. Outwardly, they wore their phylacteries. They had their nice things on. And Jesus was exposing something there, because as He worked through the sermon, He makes a statement, be perfect as the Heavenly Father is perfect. He was assaulting the religion of the Pharisees. He was assaulting self-confidence, and He was using the law to do that. He was unleashing the full demands of the law, which said, listen, murder is not just the outward act. If you hate in your heart, you've murdered. If you look at a woman, it's not just the physical act of adultery. If you look at a woman, you've committed with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. So Jesus was showing how weighty the law is and how man can't keep that law. And so we understand then when He was saying, listen, enter through the narrow gate, He was giving the call, I'm it. I'm the way. Come to me. I'm the life. And when people came to Him with a broken and contrite heart, they were freed from those demands that they could never keep. Christ fulfilled it for them. And then what was the way they went forward? Well, I'll let Mike comment on this, but that's why I'm so glad you said, Mike, this doesn't say now we can live any way we want. What this says is that now that I'm free, I can now, by the power of God's Spirit, give myself to live thankfully and live out the implications of this new life in Jesus Christ, born again by the Spirit of God. As Romans 12 says, now that we've been saved by the mercies of God, we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service.
Yeah, I like it put like this. The law tells us, do this and you shall live. The gospel says Christ did it for you. And now as those who are in Christ, when we hear the law, it is, now do this because you live.
So Mike, this leaves us with one kind of last practical question for our listeners. You know, what are you hearing, dear listener? This is a very important question for your Christian life, for your sanctification, for understanding what Jesus has done for you. And Mike, I'll let you comment on that, but we need to think through that today, don't we? It's so important to think through that question.
Absolutely. And I would challenge our listeners to ask yourself, what are you hearing when you go to the worship service at church on Sunday? Are you hearing a message of hope that is based upon moral education, self-improvement, or religious devotion? Is every
message you're hearing, every sermon you're hearing about, now read your Bible more, pray more, do this more, do that more? Or are you hearing the person and work of Jesus Christ, Christ crucified for you, raised from the dead, and you're new in Him so that you can live this new life that He has called you to live?
What a wonderful place to end today. And we do want to invite you. We'll come back to this next week again, Mike. Thanks for all the good insight today. And we do invite you to go to our website at agradio.org. There are many resources there for you to learn more about who we are and what we believe. All these podcasts are there for you to download free of charge. You can also find maps to our churches, Christ United Reformed Church here in Santee and Escondido United Reformed Church here in Escondido. So again, we're so grateful to have this opportunity to bring these radio broadcasts to you. As you go forward, may this wonderful gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
Hi, I'm Mike Brown, pastor of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee, California. If you like what you hear on Abounding Grace and you want to worship in a church where the person and work of Jesus Christ is central to the message, I invite you to visit one of our worship services every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. For more information about Christ United Reformed Church, visit our website at christurc.org. That's christurc.org.